Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Representative Tannenbaum and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shin Kevod Malchuto Leolam Vaed.
Hear, O people of Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The clerk will take the roll.
Mr. Speaker, 100 members are present.
The quorum is present. The House is ready for business. Are there any introductions? Representative Dooling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today I have the pleasure of announcing or introducing our pages for the week. Please stand as you are introduced. Sam Davis is a junior at White Sulphur Springs High School. He plays football, basketball, and golf. He participates in track, Business Professionals of America, and National Honor Society. Sam would like to be a missionary and attend college as an athlete. Sam is sponsored this week by Speaker Galt. Macy Patrici is a senior at Whitehall High School. Cross country, golf, and the National Society of School Scholars are some of Macy's school activities. She's interested in learning the process of how laws are made. Her future goal is to attend the University of Montana, major in accounting, and then attend law school. She is sponsored this week by Representative Bertolio. Alex Novark is a junior at White Sulphur Springs High School. He is involved in track, golf, basketball, football, and Business Professionals of America. Alex is interested to learn the history of the legislature process this week here at the Capitol. He hopes to play college football in the future. Alex is sponsored by Speaker Galt. Carson LeSure is a junior at Broadwater High School in Townsend. Carson is active in speech, drama, youth council, Business Professionals of America, and National Honor Society football and track. Carson's ambition is to be a valedictorian, graduate college in 4 years, and become an engineer. He is sponsored by Representative Dooling.
Welcome, Pages. Yeah. Representative Grief.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm delighted to have in the gallery today, sitting up there with my husband, friends from home, Terry and Janice Porter.
Representative, would you like to be off the record and out of the journal?
I would. Bless your heart. Thank you.
Welcome to the House. Seeing no more, order of business number one, communications and petitions.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, we are committed on appropriations. Recommend that House Bill 632 do pass as amended, signed to Representative Lou Jones, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are committee on business and labor. Recommend that House Bill 640, 655 do pass. Senate Bill 251 be concurred and as amended, signed to Representative Mark Nolan, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are committee on fish, wildlife, and parks. Recommend that House Bill 637 do pass as amended, signed Representative Ross Fitzgerald, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are committee on human services. Recommend that Senate Bill 166, 167, 216 be concurred in, signed Representative Dennis Lenz, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are committee on natural resources. Recommend that Senate Bill 258 be concurred in, signed Representative Steve Gunderson, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are committee on taxation. Recommend that House Joint Resolution 2 do pass as amended, signed Representative Becky Baird, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number 3, reports of select committees.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number 4, messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I am directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives that the following House bills were on this day read three several times, concurred in title and history, agreed to, and are herewith returned to the House. House Bill 89, McCamey, 91, Ferris Olson, 121, Beatty, 152, Durham, 173, Logie, 211, Frazier, 289, Matt Regeer, 401, Galloway, 402, Galloway, 440, Curdy, 454, Rickey. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives that the following House bills are on this day read three several times, concurred in as amended. Title and history agreed to and are herewith returned to the House for concurrence and Senate amendments. House Bill 541, Galloway. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives that the Senate on this day acceded to the request of the House and has authorized the President to appoint a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House on Senate amendments to House Bill 20. The President appointed the following members. Senator Vance, Chair, Senator Ellsworth, and Senator Sands are appointed. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives that the following Senate bills are on this day read through several times and passed, title and history agreed to, and are herewith transmitted to the House for concurrence. Senate Bill 153, Wellborn, 263 Cuff. Sincerely, Marilyn Miller, Secretary of the Senate. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number 5, message from the Governor.
Dear Speaker Gault, on Thursday, March 25th, 2021, I signed the following bills. House Bill 64, Moore, 96, Hawk, 210, Funk, 199, Harvey. Sincerely, Greg Gianforte, Governor. Dear Speaker Gault, on Friday, March 26, 2021, I signed the following bills. House Bill 28, Fleming, 38, Welch, 48, Gist, 52, Welch, 70, Homeland, 75, Putnam, 77, Fitzgerald, 93, Walsh, 104, Malone, 108, Logie, 116, Rickey, 119, Logie, 120, Logie, 138, Fielder, 144, Fielder, 197, Buttrey, 234, Stromswold, 256, Binkley. Sincerely, Greg Gianforte, Governor. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 6, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. Speaker, House Joint Resolution 28, 29, and House Bills 694 through 707 are introduced, read first time, and referred to committee. All are posted. Mr. Speaker, Senate Bills 153 and 263 have been read first time and referred to committee. All are posted. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order of business number 7, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
All those in favor say aye. All opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Representative Amy Regeer, Chair of the Committee of the Whole for the day.
Members of the committee will please be in order. The Chair recognizes Majority Leader Vinton.
Madam Chair, I move that we pass consideration of Senate Bill 184 for the day.
Without objection, so ordered.
Madam Chair, I move that we pass consideration on Senate Bill 260 for the day.
Without objection, so ordered.
Madam Chair, I move that we pass consideration of Senate Bill 278 for the day.
Without objection, so ordered. Members of the committee, you have before you for your consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 34. Representative Smith, would you?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the committee does rise and report and having under consideration amendments to House Bill 34, do concur.
Representative Smith?
Yeah, Madam Chair, it's simple amendments, and there's some things we left out. And on this Senate Bill 4 is identical to this bill and has to be moved over. And then also in House Bill 98, when it was written, they left some parts out. And it has to be added in there. So with that, I do concur.
Is there discussion? There being no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Smith that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 34, that it recommend the same, or that it recommend the same, do pass. All those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
None, Madam Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 100 representatives voted aye.
House Bill 34 has passed second reading. Senate amendments to House Bill 34 have passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 47. Representative McKamey, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does rights and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 47, that the same be concurred.
Representative McKamey.
Madam Chair, thank you. Members of the committee of the whole, this was a necessary little amendment. If you will look to page 2, line 11, you'll see that emergency rule is stricken, and we have inserted adoption notice because it isn't the emergency rule that fails to state, it's the adoption notice that fails to state, and that needed to be corrected. And I would appreciate a concurrence on this amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion? There being no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative McKamey that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 47, that it recommend the same to pass. All in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Are there any absentee ballots?
None, Madam Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Senate amendments to House Bill 47 have passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 163. Representative Fielder, what is your pleasure?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendment to House Bill 163, that it recommend the same do be concurred in.
Representative Fielder.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the amendment on this bill simply reflects that one member of each Fish and Wildlife Committee will be assigned to each of the seven fish and wildlife regions in the state of Montana. When we first heard this bill, we were bringing the fact that the commission was going to be expanded from 5 members to 7 members. And that was because, at that point, some of the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Commission members they were in 5 districts, and those districts covered as many as 4 different Fish and Wildlife administrative regions, and it also covered from 9 to 13 different counties. So by enlarging the commission to 7 members, one commissioner can be representing each of the 7 districts, and that'll give us better representation. The amendment in the Senate simply added language that allows present commissioners that are serving right now would not have to be removed from office because there'd be more than one in the same region. So by saying that the commissioners could live in or within 10 miles of a region, that simply allows the present commissioners to still keep serving in those positions. So I recommend to do concur in, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Representative Fielder that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 163, that it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
None, Madam Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 95 representatives have voted aye. 5 have voted no.
Senate amendments to House Bill 163 have passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 176. What is your pleasure, Representative Grief?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 176, the Senate amendment to House Bill 176, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Grief.
This is a very simple amendment. It's a friendly amendment, and all it does is add an immediate effective date.
Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Representative Grief that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 176 that it recommend the same do pass. In favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
None, Madam Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 65 representatives voted aye, 35 have voted no.
Senate amendments to House Bill 176 have passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 349. What is your, Representative Hopkins, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 349 that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, so these amendments are from myself. This is the Campus Free Association Act. The Senate was kind enough to put my amendment on for me. It doesn't change the policy of the bill at all. It just tightens up the language. I would ask for a green vote, Madam Chair.
Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion, Representative, would you like to close on your bill? The Representative has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Hopkins that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 349, that it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
None, Madam Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 67 representatives voted aye, 31 have voted no.
Senate amendments to House Bill 349 have passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 379. What is your pleasure, Representative Vinton?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 379, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Madam Chair.
Representative Vinton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, as this bill made its way through our process, it was apparent in testimony that marital status also has an actuarial effect on rate setting and insurance, and therefore marital status was added to this bill. I recommend a green light. Thank you.
Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion, Representative... Representative Sullivan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To speak to the bill, I'll be voting no. I would like to keep marital status out of the rate setting for our policies, and I encourage a red. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative, or does the sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Representative Vinton that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate amendments to House Bill 379, that it recommend the same do pass. Those in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
None, Madam Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 67 representatives voted aye, 33 have voted no.
Senate amendments to House Bill 379 have passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration House Bill 613. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Madam Chair, House Bill 613, introduced by Stuart Paraguay, a bill for an act entitled, an act generally revising election procedures on Indian reservations, requiring at least one satellite or alternative election office on each reservation, requiring precinct polling places notices to include locations on Indian reservations, revising duties of State-Tribal Relations Committee, requiring consideration of additional places of deposits for ballots within reservation boundaries, providing an appropriation, amending sections, and providing a delayed effective date, Madam Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Stuart Paraguay?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 613, that it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Stuart Paraguay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I bring this legislation on behalf of the 14,000 soldiers, Native American soldiers, who went to war on behalf of the United States when they were not citizens in World War I. My grandfather was among them. The American Indians were not considered citizens of the United States until 1924, when the Snyder Act was passed. Prior to that, as I often say, my brother in from Rocky Boy likes to say every now and then that American Indians have been defending this land since 1492. And that this is the homeland. If you look at the picture in front of you, as the trading that's going on, and you see the beautiful Montana mountains there, that Montanans have disproportionately Native American, not only Montanans, but Native Americans have disproportionately signed their name. In Crow, we say Das or Kuk. They sign up their name to be a part of that history of joining the army, the armed forces to defend this land. Every day we stand up and we pledge allegiance to the flag, and we have the 14,000 American Indians who didn't have to go overseas went because they felt that they needed to defend this land. And that of that in World War II, again, someone, I believe it was representative, one of the representatives stood up and talked about the anniversary of when Iwo Jima and the flag was raised. An American Indian was there as well by the name of Ira Hayes, putting up that flag to muster the troops. In the Revolutionary War, the Iroquois League was asked by then President Washington to lay the hatchet down because this was an argument between England and them. But yet later on, they helped. This is a proud warrior tradition, not only men, but women as well. And this is, and for the 14,000 who signed up, and for those that over the years, World War II, Korean conflict, Afghanistan, all of these, Desert Storm, and today, my grandson is in an undisclosed place defending all of our rights so that we can pledge allegiance to the flag. My family has a proud warrior history, as well as many other Native American families, not only within the state of Montana, but also Montanans who have a proud history of defending this land. Curley and Chief Plenty Coos were quoted to say that when you look at the land, when you look all across and look at this land, it is not just dirt, but it is mixed with the blood and the bones of the warriors that have defended this place. Both the chief of the chiefs who was asked to honor the unknown soldier when he went to Washington and laid the wreath at Arlington. And in honoring, he gave his long headdress as well as his acoustic to honor that unknown soldier. So this bill is about that. It's entitled the Native American Voting Rights Act. It's a solution for the wandering medicine settlement that occurred, and that it has been heavily amended, and that there are things but the group, I thank everyone in state administration for the hard work that they put into this. And so, Madam Chair, I move that this committee, I move that, let me see if I can find it. I move that House Bill 613 be amended and request that amendment, let me see if I can quickly find it. Where's my number? HB 016300 2002, and that it be posted and deemed read.
So ordered. Representative Stuart Paraguay.
One of the things that this is an amendment that I brought forward, basically, what it really does is it talks about the legislative intent. One of the things through the amendment process that occurred and the work that the committee put into this, there was a concern that the legislative intent needed to be placed there. So that's all this is doing. If you take a look at page 2, line 27, and insert 8, the legislature does not intend to abrogate any existing settlement agreement concerning the availability and location of alternative election administrative offices on Indian reservations in effect on the effective date of this act, to the extent the provisions of this section provide duties or requirements that are less onerous than those of the settlement agreement to which the state, the Secretary of State, a county is a party. The parties to the settlement agreement are not relieved of the requirements or duties specified under this agreement. And then if you look at part 4, page 3, line 10, legislative intent, negotiating in good faith, that it's the legislature's intent that all negotiations entered into by a county and tribal government meet the requirements of Section 1 and 13-19307, subsection 7, to be conducted in good faith using the guiding principles provided in 2-15-142. And then it inserts Section 1 and 2. And then on page 8, it inserts Section 1 and 2. Madam Chair.
Is there discussion on the amendment? Representative Skies.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for the bill, the amendment sponsor, please.
Does the sponsor yield?
Yes, I yield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good representative. So this is establishing that the legislative intent, my question is, and of course if you read my amendment, you understand what my question is, if we put this on the bill, does it mean that the state and the counties no longer have the ability to inspect because we're trying to work in a good faith agreement?
No, it does not.
Thank you.
Is there further discussion on the amendment? Seeing no further discussion, does the amendment sponsor wish to close? The sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the amendment of Representative Stuart Paraguay. Those in favor vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
None, Madam Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 59 representatives have voted aye, 41 have voted no.
The amendment passes. Is there discussion on the bill as amended? Seeing no... Representative Skies.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the House, I'm going to speak to the bill. We've just added some legislation, the language to the legislation in their new title. It says, the legislature does not tend to abrogate any existing settlement agreement concerning the availability and location of alternate election administration offices on an Indian reservation in the effect on. If you look at my amendment, my biggest concern on this is that there's absolutely nothing in the bill that says that, the new election office has to be built or where it should be built. And so it could be built on federal lands where the state of Montana has absolutely no jurisdiction, including the county election folks that are going to run the elections. And so without that language in the bill, I'm not going to move my amendment because, as we've just seen, you can easily put an amendment on a bill and you can take it right off the bill. And I'm afraid of this thing when it goes a long route that my amendment would just be taken off of it. But there's no accountability to making sure that these offices can be inspected. So therefore, I'm a no on the bill. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Representative McCamey.
Thank you very much. Madam Chair, members of the Committee of the Whole, this is an excellent effort for on behalf of the director of the state director of the elections. He has pledged to treat all elections and electors equally. And this is an important step toward that. The county elections election administrator, through the Secretary of State, will oversee this office. This office can be placed accordingly to according to what is necessary in by considering with the local government considering this, the county and the tribal governments. The requirement that is placed on the location is that it have a phone landline, a landline phone, dependable internet, a room that can be locked, and the key only held by the election administrator who will be accessing that room. It needs to be ADA compliant, just as our schools do. And it needs to have a restroom in the building. Does not require building a new building. Does not require putting it any place that is inaccessible. It's important that we understand that the request was made for two alternative or satellite and or permanent, and what we came to an agreement on was to give one satellite or alternative office. And the one alternative office is going to be on the reservation. It's going to be in tribal land. And the reason that it is because it needs to be accessible to those in the tribes. And it is this way that we will be able to treat people with equality. And in that, I close and ask for a green light. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there further discussion? Representative Whiteman-Pena.
Madam Chair, I'd like to speak to the bill. As former president of the Northern Cheyenne Tribe, we had this this election process that was kind of hindered at the beginning. But between the commissioners of both counties, Rosebud and Bighorn, we came to an understanding of having the satellite voting on our reservation that would accommodate everyone that lives within the Northern Cheyenne Reservation that were able to vote. The satellite came into the tribal office, and the only ones that was responsible for that was the county that sent down their our clerks and a commissioner that was there, and also we had one in Bighorn County at the tribal school there. So they were taken care of by the same Bighorn County clerk and the commissioner that came with them. So nobody else had responsibility of handling any of the ballots or any of the voting. At our time, we had COVID restrictions, and that was one of the biggest fears. But when they got there, they said that we were one of the best that had taken the COVID restrictions in implementing within our county. So I would like to request a green vote on this because it does work.
Is there further discussion? Representative Custer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the body. This bill isn't doing anything that we weren't doing in the first place. We're just putting in code so it's not out there like when, say, a tribal government, they change just like county governments, the new officials come and they go. And sometimes the old way, you used to have to have, by a certain date, you had to have your request in or you didn't get your satellite office. And so this will clear that up. It'll be, they can make the agreement for as long as they want, just like the county can make an agreement with anyone. So between the two bodies, the tribal body and the county, they can make the agreement as long, and it can be standing for as many years as they sign the agreement for. And it is a county office. It's run by the county clerk and recorder or election administrator's office, the people that man the office are county employees. So there's not really a need to inspect it because they're not going to accept anything less than what it says in here anyway, and they're the ones running the office. So they'll be there every day to inspect the office, I guess, for that much. It's their county employees that run these satellite offices. So it's a green. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Representative Wendy Boy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to speak in favor of this bill here. You know, if I don't want to belabor the point here, but, you know, is this is a good bill. We're not as savage as you think we are as far as we used to be. We've been in compliance with a lot of this stuff here, and based upon a lot of the lawsuits that were have been done most recently, this is just basically coming in compliant with a lot of those issues. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Representative Noland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question, I think, for the sponsor, if I could, please.
Does the sponsor yield?
I do.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good representative. So on page 7, line 918, where it talks about places of deposit, so it says the election administrator shall designate the election administrator's office and may designate one or more places in the political subdivision in which the election is being conducted, and places of deposit where ballots may be returned in person by the electors or the elector's agent or designee. And then the next part is my question. If the election administrator's office is not accepted pursuant to that section, the election administrator shall designate at least one accessible place of deposit. When we have deposits, Representative, when people are poll watchers and they're placing these deposits, who is actually having the opportunity to watch that?
Okay, I believe Section 7 is talking about the...
Section 6.
Section 6? Okay, you said 7.
Sorry,
yeah. Let me see if I... There
Page
it
7.
Okay. All right. This is... I believe this section was talking about... Let me see if I can... okay. So these are either polling places, if you look further down, Representative. Excuse me, Madam Chair, Representative. If you go further down in those subsections, there was two things here. One was when it's an all, like the last election, all-mail balloting, that there had to be designated places to deposit your ballot if you didn't mail it back in. And so this is what that's talking about. But also, if you received an absentee ballot and then didn't send it in, that you could bring it in to the either the satellite office or to a polling place, just like that's all this is referring to.
Okay, Madam Chair, a follow-up?
Representative, do you continue to yield?
Yes, I do.
So if I keep reading down on line 24 on that same page, it's explaining, and I'm trying to make sure I understand this. So prior to election day, ballots may be returned to any designated place of deposit during the days and times set by the election administrator and within the regular business hours of the location. So are all those manned and properly
manned?
Yes,
they are. They are. That was one of our biggest concerns during the this past election, is to make sure that those drop-offs are secure.
One last follow-up.
Do you continue to yield?
Yes, I do.
So, Madam Chair and good representative, are these going to be continual? I mean, is this going to be set up so that these can be the norm from moving forward?
Well, for right now, it's during elections, so it'll be up to the county and to the tribal government if they so wish to move forward and to make this permanent. But this is for when we're holding elections.
Okay, thank you. Speak to the bill, Madam Chair, members of the body. I have some concerns and reservations regarding what we're changing and what we're doing, so that the vote as my bill came through, as we heard it. The integrity of the vote was so critical and important that we can watch it and make sure everything's taken care of, processed, and given to the election judges in a timely and efficient manner. And I believe that this might fall through the cracks. So I'm a no.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would the sponsor kindly yield to a question from this poor old grandpa?
Yes, I'll yield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, I would direct your attention to page 5, line 18, subsection 3. It says, if the elector fails or refuses to sign the elector's name, or if the elector is disabled, and a fingerprint, an identifying mark, or a signature by a person authorized to sign for the elector pursuant to 13.1-116 is not provided, the elector may cast a provisional ballot as provided in 13.13.601. My question to you is that, is there anyone ever anywhere that does not meet the requirements over on the previous page regarding subsection 1, which is in keeping with current statute? Is this necessary? I'm having trouble coming up with anybody that might meet this requirement.
Madam Chair, good representative, this is part of our code right now, and that accommodations are made for people that are disabled.
Thank you, Representative. Speak to the bill. I have some angst regarding this bill, but I'm not sure where it comes from. And when my instincts tell me something is wrong. So I can't verbalize it, but I'm going to have to be a no. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Fielder.
Madam Chair, would the sponsor yield to a question, please?
Does the sponsor yield?
Yes, I yield.
Madam Chair, Representative, I'm a election judge myself, and each county is divided up into precincts.
Yes.
And each precinct has a place for depositing ballots that are administered by the county election official. So how would this bill be different from the present system where the people in that area would come in and deposit their ballots in the polling place within their precinct? In my county, Sanders County, there's precincts that include Dixon and Hot Springs, and both of those are on the Flathead Indian Reservation. So those are two precincts where tribal members, because they live in those areas, would be able to come in and drop their ballots into those precinct polling places. How would this be different, Madam Chair?
Madam Chair, good representative, the satellite office is set up prior to the elections so that people can, those that are not registered or those young people that are just now can vote, can sign up and register. They also, if it's within the time period, they can also go to this polling place. It can be a polling place as well, and ask for a absentee ballot and vote right there. And so it does not take away from any of the other precincts. It's just an office that's available so that individuals do not have to travel all the way to the county seat.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Does the sponsor continue to yield?
Yes, I yield.
So, Madam Chair, Representative, this would be a polling place in addition to the ones that are already set up in each precinct.
On election day, it will be available. But again, it's within the terms between the tribal governments and the county. For example, with Bighorn County, it was not a polling place. It was closed. And then we had the precincts open so that people could go and vote at the polling places, not this election cycle, but the previous cycle. They also, and that was because our election administrator did not have the extra hands to keep that open. So that was the agreement between Bighorn County and the Crow Tribe. And so that's basically what was agreed upon.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Dooling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill. So we heard this bill in state admin, and it came the last week before transmittal. And we saw some good things in there. We saw some things that we didn't like. And so we spent the following week, five committee days, prior to our committee time, committee meetings, working on this. We also worked on it after hours. We worked with the Secretary of State's office. There's the version you see here isn't the version that we started with, and it's actually probably not the one I like the best, but it's part of the compromise system. And, you know, the last two folks, the representatives in 83 and 13, they questioned the sponsor about particular paragraphs in this bill. These paragraphs are current code. They're not changing anything. So, again, we worked really, really hard on this. It's not perfect, but it's a step up, and it gives a bit more of an opportunity, and it is a negotiation between the county election administrator and the tribal government. This isn't just a free-for-all. So, again, I would like to just encourage you to vote green because we worked really hard, and this is a good bill. Thank you.
So, further discussion, Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would the sponsor yield to a question, please?
Does the sponsor yield?
Yes, I'll yield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, I appreciate you asking so many or answering so many questions. I just have one last question. These offices that will be required to be open for 30 days, and I'm assuming staffed with, in my experience in elections, at least two people. Who is going to bear the cost of keeping these offices open for that 30-day period? Thank you.
Madam Chair, good representative. That is one of the, prior to the solution with the medicine, wandering medicine settlement, it was between the county and the tribes, and most of the tribes have come forward either offering up space and basically incurring the costs so that the county administrator can just walk in and take care of business.
Follow up.
Does the sponsor continue to yield?
Yes, I'll yield.
Thank you. I wasn't going to ask this, but you just made me think of it. But the employees are county employees. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Putnam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Speak to the bill, and this is just more of a clarification. Even though it says that 30-day time frame, that just means that 30 days before the election, they have to have offices that can be open. I would expect typically it'll be what they've been doing in the past, which is, you know, a few days in that 30-day time frame is when these offices are open. They're not open the entire 30-day time frame. I just wanted to make that clarification. Thank you.
Representative Binkley.
May I ask the sponsor a question, please?
Does the sponsor yield?
Yes, I yield.
Thank you. I know it came up in committee, but I haven't heard it here on the floor, and there's some questions. Who is paying for this?
Madam Chair and good representative, it is a collaboration between the county and the tribal governments. And it's and so it's not I've heard this concept all of the time, my seven sessions here. What is the skin in the game for tribal governments? This is not something that is a freebie. You need to understand that. And that we are, like I said, tribal, if you listen to the hearing, the different tribes have offered to pay for and have trained an election judge or someone to be in that office. In Blackfeet country, there is a satellite office, and it's a true satellite office, in which all of the duties or day-to-day activities of county office is occurring there. And that's something that the county commissioners opened up. So this is not something that's really relatively new, but with this, and so it's going to be, it will be taken care of by both the tribes and the county.
There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to reiterate, number one, this has been going on for a few years now. And the good faith effort between the tribes and the county to provide this satellite office has been working. It's been bumpy at first, but we've been able to smooth out things as long as there's communication. And that, like I said, in places where the good representative from Lame Deer, former chairwoman, talked about, the tribes are willing to meet halfway and establish this. It has to be a secure office. It has to have internet. It has to have ADA accessibility. And those are part of the parameters and sideboards that everyone has agreed upon. And so this is, and in closing, just to give you an example, which Bighorn County was part of this lawsuit, is that when the tribe could not provide a secure place, they came and asked Little Bighorn College to provide a space. And so the cultural center that we had there is all one floor. And so that it was ADA accessible. It had a bathroom. It had bathrooms. It had internet accessibility, and it was locked, and there was security. So that was the agreement between county and the tribe and the board of trustees of Little Bighorn College to have the satellite office there, and that has been working. And if you across the other tribes have done the same. So with that, Madam Chair, I ask for a due pass.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Stuart Paraguay that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 613, that it recommend the same due pass. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
None, Madam Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 53 representatives have voted aye, 47 have voted no.
House Bill 613 has passed second reading. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration Senate Bill 247. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 247, introduced by Boldman, a bill for an act entitled, an act revising alcohol laws related to universities and post-secondary institutions, allowing a unit of the Montana University System or a post-secondary institution in Montana to contract with an alcohol licensee to serve alcohol at a sporting event held on university property, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date. Madam Chair.
Representative Zornwell-Kalf, what is your pleasure?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 247, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Zornwell-Kalf.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the body. Senate Bill 247 is a bill that allows our Montana University schools to serve alcohol at their sporting events. Now, I know what you're thinking, so just bear with me. A couple things about this bill is it did pass out of the Senate with bipartisan support, as well as support from tavern owners, distributors, and microbrewers. For anyone who's familiar with laws regarding alcohol, you know that it can be pretty difficult to get all three of those legs of the stool, as they like to be referred to as, on board. It's also important to note that the universities nor OCHE were not opposed to this bill. So what this bill does is it creates a revenue share for universities by allowing them to contract out a catering endorsement for local bars and restaurants to serve alcohol at their sporting events. While it applies to our universities such as U of M and MSU, it also applies to post-secondary institutions, including the tribal schools and including Frontier Conference schools. So this bill not only benefits the schools in our bigger towns, but it can benefit schools that are in more rural areas of Montana, thus creating more businesses for the bars in those cities in Montana. Anybody who has been to a university sporting event is probably pretty familiar with the tailgating culture that is going on right now. If anyone isn't, I will do a brief explanation, but it's basically before the game starts, getting together outside the stadium and drinking as much as you possibly can before the game starts, and then going in, making it to halftime, and then going out to repeat the same exact thing. It is my belief that if we simply allowed alcohol to be sold in the stadiums in a more monitored and secure environment, then it would lead to that. It would lead to a decrease of that binge drinking culture that is surrounding our sporting events. For what it's worth, universities are currently allowed to sell alcohol during different events, such as any concerts or things like that. They're just not allowed to do it during sporting events, which is what this law aims to address. The NCAA changed their stance in allowing alcohol at these sporting events a couple years ago, and since then, a few schools have implemented this. And in West Virginia, for example, they passed a law very similar to this with the sole intent of limiting tailgating, and they saw their alcohol-related offenses drop 30%. So it has been proven to work across the country with other schools that have tried this, and I think that it's time for us to hop on board. So with that, I will stand for questions, and I urge you to pass. Thank you.
Is there discussion? Seeing no discussion, does the carrier wish to close? The carrier has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Zolnikov that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 247, that it recommend that it be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion vote aye. Those opposed vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
None, Madam Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 82 representatives have voted aye. 18 have voted no.
Senate Bill 247 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you will have before your consideration Senate Bill 248. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 248, introduced by Boldman, a bill for an act entitled An Act Establishing Student Athlete Rights and Protections, ensuring that a student athlete can earn compensation for the use of the student athlete's name, image, or likeness, and providing a delayed effective date. Madam Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Patelis?
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 248, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Patelis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a bipartisan bill to permit any Montana University student athlete to receive compensation for their name, image, and likeness, which is called NIL. Since the inception in 1906, the National Collegiate Athletic Association, which is more commonly referred as the NCAA, has prohibited student athletes from promoting or endorsing a commercial product or service even if they are not paid to do so. What does this mean? This means that student athletes may not profit off their name, image, or likenesses in order to maintain their NCAA eligibility. For the last 100 years, I think we all believe that it was the right thing to do, no doubt about it. However, college athletics have changed now. In 2019, in Division I college athletics, there was revenue in the amount of $15 billion a year. You could understand 1 year how hard it is for us with $2.7 billion. In 1 year, the revenue has been that now. So college athletics anymore, it's not about amateurism. We all know that. It's now a multi-billion dollar business that allows everybody to make money except the student athletes themselves. Student athletes receive several valuable benefits, such as full scholarships, room, board, health care, and a stage to showcase their talents to professional scouts. But the blanket restriction on the ability of student athletes to make money from third parties is outdated and archaic, and it's wrong. And I just want to talk a little bit about, you know, people say, well, you're on a college athletic scholarship. You know, you should be thankful. I think everybody's thankful. But keep in mind, somebody that's attending college, that's in a literature or creative writing degree, They can sell a book while they're in college and make money off it. A person that's a journalism major, they can make money freelancing. A person that's on a music scholarship, they can profit from music or an album. So I want to make clear that this does not mean that colleges pay them athletes to play. Instead, it means that that players can negotiate deals with businesses, video games, summer camps, trading card shows, clothing makers, social media, local commercials, and businesses who know the athletes. And it's really, really critical right now for the state of Montana. I have a handout there. There's 30 bills that have been introduced right now on this same issue throughout the United States. Six states have passed the bills already. And, for instance, Florida has put in a date on July 2021 that they're going to start this. So what that means is you have – let's not use Florida State as a big college. Let's use Central Florida, a smaller college comparable to the University of Montana. You have a recruit that University of Montana is trying to recruit. They know Montana has not passed this yet, and if they go to Central Florida – they, in their own mind at that time, they think they can profit off a jersey or some other things. We're going to lose those kids. So right now, the NCAA, because of the bills going on and that are in the hopper right now and six have been passed, the NCAA's top governing board voted unanimously already to permit student athletics to benefit from their NIL. However, they haven't acted on it yet. That's the key. So we need to act now.
One minute.
Okay, but it's time to admit that something has been rotten in this industry. Let's think about it. $15 billion a year, and many athletes can't afford to put food on the table or pay for a plane ticket for their parents. And I'm gonna use a short example of me. I remember when I got a football scholarship to Tech, I remember sitting home in a little row house in Philadelphia. My parents say, "Let me tell you something, boy. You go out that far, you're in trouble because we don't have the money to help you out. You're done out there." So they were fortunate enough to come out and see two of my games in my whole career because they couldn't afford to come. So with that, I'll stand for any questions.
Is there discussion? Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I rise in support of this bill sponsored by my good friend from Billings. I have 50 years' experience dealing with the NCAA, both as an athlete and as a coach and as a NCAA referee. And to tell you how times have changed, when I was in college, my athletic scholarship was week to week. Okay, I was a piece of meat to the team. Okay, and in many aspects, of course, our athletes in the NCAA are a cash cow for the university to make large amounts of money. I would offer a warning, however. There has been suggestion that the IRS would indicate that if this bill is passed, that athlete scholarships could be counted as income. Because if you are going to accept payment from the university for the sale of your likeness and or some other sponsorship, then you are an employee of the university, and therefore your scholarship is a part of your pay. That is yet to be determined. That's only a suggestion. I think that the state of Montana needs to make greater opportunities for its athletes, and I urge a green vote. Thank you, Madam Chair.
There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. As I said, I know a lot of you. I was blessed to get a college football scholarship and a great education out of Montana Tech. But I'm going to use myself as an example of if this would have been enacted when I played. My college career, I was a two-time first-team Frontier Conference, first-team All-Midwest, and Associated Press All-American. I knew everybody in Butte. I'd walk down the streets, sign little kids, give them autographs, you know, and went to camps, showed them how to throw the football, you know, off-season. You'd go in a bar. I could never buy a drink in Butte, Montana. That's the truth. I could never go in there, and people were just, I mean, I loved it. They knew me. And really, all I got out of it, and I don't mean I got a great education, but I was fortunate to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. I have a Hall of Fame ring and a bunch of crooked fingers and about two knee operations. And so In all honesty, that's what I got. But in closing, I just want to give you an example. This is my old jersey here. So I want everybody to, I'm not going to ask you, you don't got to raise your hands, okay? But how many of you would have bought a Jimmy Patelis jersey in Butte, Montana during that time? I think I think a lot of the kids, families, and the students would have bought one. And I like to bet. So I bet the odds would have been probably pretty high that there would have been a lot of girls that would have bought this back in the day and still had it in their hope chest as of today. With that, thank you. Vote.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Patelis that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 248, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
None, Madam Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 92 representatives voted aye. 8 have voted no.
Senate Bill 248 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you have before your consideration Senate Bill 354. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 354, introduced by Heinbach, a bill for an act entitled, an act revising laws related to land servitudes and easements, allowing the owner of a servian tenement to mark the servitude boundaries with signage, providing that the extent of a servitude may not extend beyond the purposes provided for in writing, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date, Madam Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Burgley?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move this committee to rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 354. Recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Burgley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a bill that was brought to sort of deal with some issues that people have been having with prescriptive easements. I know that if you spend any time in any of the rural areas of Montana, prescriptive easements, or with real estate or in a lot of other areas, prescriptive easements can be kind of a controversial issue in a lot of ways. So what this bill seeks to do is to apply a system of trying to get some degree of adjudication and limiting those to a more specific scope. And what the bill does is it's lined out. It sort of follows the water rights idea, where a notice will be sent out. You'll have some time to, if there's a prescriptive easement that's being challenged or contested, there'd be a period of time to file a claim on that. And if it's a prescriptive easement that has been adjudicated by the courts or a court decision, or if it's been reduced to writing, then it would all, those would not apply. Those would be in good standing. So with that, I will sit and hope for a green light.
Is there discussion? Representative Tenenbaum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I rise in opposition to this bill. This bill received a last-minute amendment that was drafted the morning of executive action. It was introduced, and that amendment is entirely contained within Section 2 of this bill, which begins on page 1, line 16, and goes to page 2, line 14. I personally moved to pass consideration in executive action with hopes that we would get a little bit of time just to look over and see what we were voting on. That motion was unsuccessful. And so what we have here is Section 2, which if you look at page 1, line 17, it's titled Prescriptive Easement Not Acquired by Recreational Use of Surface Waters. So this bill now has a legal problem, and it has a substantive problem with this amendment. The legal problem is that all of the language that was amended into Section 2, which begins, the amendment begins, I guess, with line 26 on page 1 and goes to line 14 on page 2, all of that language has absolutely nothing to do with prescriptive easements not acquired through recreational use of surface waters. So from a legal standpoint, we're going to arrive at a lot of confusion in court when if this bill becomes law, because all of the language that is involved here about prescriptive easements, and it sets a date of December 31st, 2022, by which they have to be in writing and filed in court. The language appears to pertain to all prescriptive easements, but the title of this section only pertains to prescriptive easements not acquired by recreational use of surface waters. I have no idea how that's going to play out, but this is it's not how you write law, and it's going to create problems further down the line. But I want to also address the substantive problem with this amendment, And the problem is that this amendment, it's going to let easements that our constituents rely on for access to fishing and hunting, and they've relied on these easements for generations, it sets an expiration date on those easements. And this bill applies to easements that are used with non-motorized methods, and it also applies to motorized access. If this bill becomes law, we're going to see gates going up, and your constituents are going to wonder why. And we're going to have to point to Senate Bill 354, specifically the amendments that were made to Section 2. This is not a good bill with these amendments, and for that reason, I'm going to ask that you vote red on this.
Representative France.
Madam Speaker, members, or Madam Chair, members of this body, I concur in everything that the good representative from Missoula said. I am concerned about recreational access, but I'm also concerned about the access that property owners enjoy to access their property. There's a tenet in law that if you buy property, you have access to it. There are landlocked parcels all through Montana where that access is traditional, it's prescriptive, it may or may not be in writing. And so the impact of this bill on some property owners may be excellent in that they will get clarification on a prescriptive easement across their ground. The impact on another property owner may be to effectively deny him or her the value of their property because they no longer have access to it. And as the good representative from Missoula said, the amendment arrived on the day we had executive action. The hearing didn't have anything to do with the amendment. I think we owe it to property owners across Montana to provide them with better notice of a law that may have such far-reaching impact, not just on the ability of them to get to their property, but on the value of the property itself. So I would urge a no on this vote. I would urge that we take the next year and a half to think about whether we want to do this, to consult with property lawyers, to hear from landowners, and really understand what we're doing before we vote on a Senate bill that's been heavily amended, which won't get a chance to be heard again in the Senate. This just seems like we're asking for unintended consequences in this legislation. So I would ask for a no vote. Thank you. Thank you, Matt.
Representative Logie.
Madam Chair, a question for the carrier.
Is the carrier yield?
I do.
Madam Chair and Representative, I was wondering, it says on line 4 on page 2, Office of Department of Natural Resources and Conservation, and generally easements would be found in the clerk and recorder's office. I was just curious on why DNRC was labeled in there.
Madam Chair, Representative, I believe that was to have sort of a centralized governing body that this could be run through. So you'll notice that they have to come up with a form. If you had every county coming up with a different form, things could get kind of complicated. Or if you put it in law that it could be administered differently. So this was just, the idea was to have a central body that these would run through since they would be familiar with these types of issues.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Usher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the chairman of Judiciary, I want to stand up for this bill. It sounded like there were some accusations coming my way that an amendment was brought the day of. Well, that's not factually true. And yes, it was handed out the day of EA. That's usually when we hand out amendments. So there was nothing different with this amendment than any other amendment. So I just wanted to say go green.
There being no further discussion, does the carrier wish to close?
Yeah, Madam Chair, briefly. Just one of the things that was brought up by the opposition was that easements significantly affect property value. I think that's some of the issue that's going on here. The specific one that's set forward in the bill is that if you have a leasehold, which was kind of the main part of the bill, I think, is that if you're leasing an area and you grant a guest or an acquaintance access through that property, and the owner of that property actually doesn't want them on the property, that doesn't establish an easement. The issue, one of the main issues that was being had was that the people were renting property that gave them access to a different adjacent property, and then they were creating, since it was a 5-year lease or longer, that was creating easements through the lessor's property for guests or invitees of whoever was holding the lease, which seems to be a pretty big problem, especially when you're talking about access issues. So I would agree that this does affect property values, and that's why we're bringing the bill. So I'd urge a green light.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Burgley that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 354, recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Are there any absentee votes?
None, Madam Chair.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Madam Chair, 65 representatives voted aye. 35 have voted no.
Senate Bill 354 has been concurred in. The Chair recognizes Majority Leader Vinton.
Madam Chair, I move the committee rise and report.
You have heard the motion of Majority Leader Vinton. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. All the ayes have it. So ordered.
Mr. Speaker, we are a committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, recommend as follows.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the committee report.
You hear the motion to adopt the committee report. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 93 representatives voted aye. 7 have voted no.
The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Representative Amy Regeer. Order of business number 8, third reading of bills. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move we pass consideration of House Bill 8 for the day.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 5, introduced by Jones, a bill for an act entitled Long Range Building Appropriations.
House Bill 5, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 100 representatives have voted aye.
House Bill 5 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 6, introduced by Hopkins, a bill for an act entitled Renewable Resource Grants.
House Bill 6, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 99 representatives have voted aye. 1 has voted no.
House Bill 6 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 7, introduced by Hopkins, a bill for an act entitled Reclamation and Development Grants.
House Bill 7, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 100 representatives have voted aye.
House Bill 7 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 9, introduced by Hopkins, a bill for an act entitled Cultural and Aesthetic Grants.
House Bill 9, having been read three several times, question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 77 representatives have voted aye. 23 have voted no.
House Bill 9 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 11, introduced by McCamey, a bill for an act entitled Treasure State Endowment Program.
House Bill 11, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 99 representatives have voted aye. 1 has voted no.
House Bill 11 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 43, introduced by Rhonda Knutson, a bill for an act entitled Expand Practice of Telemedicine.
House Bill 43, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 100 representatives have voted aye.
House Bill 43 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 367, introduced by Fielder, a bill for an act entitled Revised Constitutional Language Regarding Harvest Heritage.
House Bill 367, having been read three several times, question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 66 representatives have voted aye, 34 have voted no.
House Bill 367 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 643, introduced by Custer, a bill for an act entitled Allowing a Disabled Voter to Electronically Return a Ballot.
House Bill 643, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 56 representatives have voted aye, 44 have voted no.
House Bill 643 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 72, introduced by Keith Regeer, a bill for an act entitled Revised School Laws Related to Participation in Extracurricular Activities.
Senate Bill 72, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 99 representatives have voted aye. One has voted no.
Senate Bill 72 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 175, introduced by Kerry, a bill for an act entitled Generally Revised Contributions to the Judges' Retirement System.
Senate Bill 175, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 66 representatives have voted aye. 33 have voted no.
Senate Bill 175 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 275, introduced by Wellborn, a bill for an act entitled Generally Revise the Board of Outfitters and Outfitting Laws and Enforcement.
Senate Bill 275, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 72 representatives have voted aye. 27 have voted no.
Senate Bill 275 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 300, introduced by Glim, a bill for an act entitled Generally Revised Law Related to Driver's Education.
Senate Bill 300, having been read three several times, the question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 81 representatives have voted aye. 19 have voted no.
Senate Bill 300 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Joint Resolution 15, introduced by Ellsworth, a bill for an act entitled Approve Organization of Bitterroot Valley Community College District.
Senate Joint Resolution 15, having been read three several times, question is, should the bill be passed by the House? Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 61 representatives have voted aye. 39 have voted no.
Senate Joint Resolution 15 has passed the House.
That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 9, motions. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move to re-refer Senate Bill 247, Generally Revise Alcohol State Property Post-Secondary Education, to the Appropriations Committee. Mr. Speaker.
That objection? So ordered. Order business number 10, unfinished business.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business 11, special orders of the day.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 12, announcement of committee meetings. Representative Lenz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Human Services meets today at 3 o'clock.
Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Natural Resources will convene on adjournment until we have 9 EAs and 2 bills.
Representative Cashmire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Ag tomorrow at 3 o'clock, room 137.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Appropriations, 9 a.m. in the morning, 5 bills.
Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Mr. Speaker, I request to be off the record now the journal purpose of an introduction.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In our balcony off over here to my right is a young entrepreneur from Cascade County whose ambition is to be sitting on this House floor in the near future, and her name is Krista Briscoe. Welcome.
Welcome to the House. Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House taxation tomorrow, 8 a.m. We have 4 executive actions. Thank you.
Representative Burgley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House education today, 4 bills, 3 o'clock.
Representative McCamey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House State Administration will meet tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., room 455 for executive action. Thank you.
Representative Custer.
House Local Government tomorrow, 3 o'clock, room 472, two EAs.
Representative Logie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Transportation, 3 o'clock. We have one bill and two possible executive actions.
Representative Skies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Energy today, 3 o'clock.
Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Request to be off and out for the purposes of an announcement.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, tomorrow, Supreme Court Chambers, 303, and 12 o'clock, going to have some folks coming down from the University of Montana, President Seth Bodner, as well as Alan Townsend, who is the dean of the forestry school, as well as some forestry students. Come get yourself some lunch. We're going to talk forestry building and some cross-laminated timber, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to continue to be off and out for the purposes of an apology.
So ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, during our discussion here today, phone happened to go off. I've been asking the Smashing Pumpkins to not try to contact me on the House floor. Apologies for the mistake, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary, 8 a.m. tomorrow, room 137.
Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Everybody in business and labor, please listen. We're going to meet tomorrow morning at 8. We have four bills tomorrow morning at 8.
Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn and reconvene at 1 p.m. Tuesday, the 62nd legislative day.
You have heard the motion of Majority Leader Vinton. All those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House convene at 1 p.m. Thursday, March 30th. The House is adjourned.